Sefer Shlavei HaSulam, Kerach Aleph.
Shlavei HaSulam, the first volume, page 58, the article of what is the degenerations of the righteous are good deeds and work. But before this, we will read a summary in which we will hear about what the Rabash is saying in this article. The human is called according to the purpose he desires to reach. And this is why righteous is called someone who yearns for doing good deeds. Which means that doing, delving into Torah, or the prayer, or in the mitzvah, feels good. And the question that is asked is, what causes the human being to have a will to be righteous? And the desire is that there is no soul without a body, which means that the body enlarges the soul in 620 times more than it was on its root. And in order to attain it, we need the faith of the sages so that they will direct us to labor in the right spot and not in the least important spot. Rabash also explains the difference between the degrees of still vegetative and speaking that are inside the human being by giving examples from life. And from there he continues to explain about the three states in the spiritual work, which are the permanent situation, the state of the ascent, and the stage of the descent. He concludes by the words of Baal HaSulam that it is not important in which situation you're at, but the human being rises only according to the extent of the praise and the thankfulness for the Creator. What is the generations of the righteous are good deeds and work? And on the phrase, these are the generations of Noach. Noach was a man righteous. The sages said that it is to teach you that the prime generations of the righteous are good deeds. And we need to understand this, because the sages said that the ones who doesn't have sons is regarded as dead, because it is written, bring me sons, and if you will not, then I will be considered dead. Give me children, or else I die. Which means that they are righteous, even though they have good deeds, anyhow they are regarded as dead. So can we say that these are righteous, and the father and the son and the instrument of work are called a cause and a consequence? Meaning, what is in action is called a father, and what is revealed later in potential. What is in potential is called a father, and what is that letter revealed in action is a son. And what is in potential is like a drop in the brain of the father, and what is later in action is called birth. And the son comes out from potential to action. And this is why when one has a thought about the fact that he has to perform some kind of an action, that he wants to perform an action, then previously he has to think about what he wants to do. He has to think about the benefit he will have from this action, because it is common in the world that a human being loves rest, as it is known. And the reason is because our root is in the state of complete rest. And this is why the creatures also want rest, and they make no action at all, but on the condition that it will bring them more joy than they have from the state of rest. And this is why the righteous, meaning the people that want to be in the degree of the righteous, even though they didn't reach this degree of righteous yet, they are already called, regarded as righteous. Just like my father had interpreted, you should bring wisdom to the smart, and the queries bringing this wisdom to the stupid, you should say. So why did he write for bring wisdom to smart people? But the one who desires, who asks for wisdom, is already called a smart person. But a stupid person does not want wisdom, just like it is written that a fool will not delight in understanding. And it's found that the one who wants to be righteous, range in his thought, what should he do? Meaning, what should he yearn for? And the sages said, for good deeds. Meaning, that he thinks in his reason, how can he reach a state in which he'll be able to perform good deeds. Which means that when he will have good deeds, then he will know by himself that he's righteous. And this is like the sages said, and Rabba said, that one will know in his spirit that he, whether he is righteous or wicked. And this is why one should arrange in his thoughts that is called only the potential, what should he do, in order to come to a state in which every act he will perform will be a good deed. Yet we should know what is this good deed, that by this you will be able to know that he is righteous. And you need to interpret that the matter of good deeds is interpreted both in the Torah and both in the prayer and both in performing the act, the commandments, executing the commandments. That the matter of good deeds should be interpreted by one feeling himself, one feeling good while performing these actions. For example, when one wants to stand and to pray in front of the Creator, then the human wants to feel as if standing in front of the King. That then one's entire heart and thoughts are in the King, meaning because of the greatness and the importance of the King. And then there's no opportunity to distract his mind from the King. And you can find two things here. The first, that there is no place in which a foreign or a different thought should enter that does not be God the King. And then there is as if no time in the world except from him and the King. And this is because the fear from the greatness of the King. The second thing is that then he feels that he is in a state of a good sensation, meaning that he had the ability to speak with the King. He was the right. And when he goes to fulfill a mitzvah, a commandment, then he thinks that the thought that he is going to perform is going to be a good commandment. Meaning, while doing this, performing this mitzvah, he will feel that now he's about to give contentment to the King. This is why one should, while performing the commandment, one should feel that he is honored to give pleasure to the King. Meaning that the King enjoys from him by fulfilling the commandment of the King or the order of the King. And this is called a good action. And when he feels this way and doing the mitzvot, the commandments, while performing the mitzvot, he has no other thought except because he is delving into the act, the commandment of the King. This is why his entire, all of his thoughts are only whether the King enjoys the actions he now performs. And this is called good deeds inside a person. And also while learning the Torah and preparing for this, for learning the Torah, when he previously thinks about which Torah is about to learn, meaning if he wants to enjoy from the wisdom that is inside the Torah, or to have the strength to awaken himself, that this is the Torah of the Creator. That the entire Torah is in the discernment of the names of the Creator. And even more, that he is unable to understand and to see the connection that the Torah has with the Creator. But at least he wants to believe, just like the sages said, that the Torah, Israel, and the Creator are one. And this is called in him good deeds. And it's found that if someone wants to be righteous while preparing and making this calculation inside his thought and wants to perform actions that will be good actions, then he is called righteous. Meaning that he wants to give birth. meaning that by the preparation that he has in his thoughts, this is called a father gives birth to children, which are good deeds. And when it's righteous, when it is written that Noah is a man righteous, and this is called these are the generations of Noah, meaning the good deeds, which are the history of the righteous. And when it's written that Noah was a righteous person, meaning that he had the ability to perform good actions, meaning that during this doing he felt that really his actions are good, that he felt contentment while doing these deeds and felt the good inside these deeds, and because the actions were right, and this is why he had the ability to gain the greatness and the pleasure that is clothed in the actions, in the actions of the commandments. And in the above said, we understand that when the sages said that the one who has no sons is regarded as dead, that from Noach we might understand that only the one who has good actions is regarded as righteous. But it is written that the one who has no sons is regarded as dead, which means that even the righteous, if they have no sons, are regarded dead. And when we read that sons are called good deeds, that the interpretation should be that the one that has no sons is regarded as dead, meaning that if he does not have good deeds, he is regarded as dead. Because wicked in their lives are called dead, because they are separated from the life of lives. But what is the need that the person, why should one perform good deeds? Meaning, what causes this will to be righteous? And why it is up to the human being to leave his all the needs he is used to work for the benefit of his body, meaning he is used to enjoy from eating, drinking, and from pleasure and honor and so on. And even though he hears from books and from the writers that there is a matter of a soul, meaning that one should acquire the matters of the soul after attaining the discernment of a body, then one begins to ask, what is a soul? He should labor in order to gain this neshama. And then the body asks, what will I earn from it, from having the discernment of neshama? And even more, he asks, meaning, what is this soul, this neshama, that I need to attain and be worthy of? And the answer for such a person is that there is no soul without a body. This is why one was given a body, which is like a machine. So with this machine, he can drive and reach everywhere. And because of this, we need to keep this machine. It should, so that all its necessities will be satisfied. Everything this machine needs should be satisfied. For example, oil, water, and fuel. Then only after we give this machine everything it needs, then it will be able to do what is up to her, what is up to it, which is to bring the human being to the places where one should come to. And of course, that one does not take this machine and gives her everything that is needed, and only later you will leave this machine and will not drive with it. The same thing is with the human being. He has to think about the body, that the body is like the machine, that the duty of this body is to lead the person. The duty of this machine is to lead the human being where he needs to come. And when one will understand that the body is a gadget, is a means by which he'll be able to attain the discernment of the soul, of the Shema, this is why one was created with a body. It's like it is brought in the book of Pri Chacham. And he says that the soul, prior coming to the body, was a small spot, even though it was cleaved in the root as a branch in the tree. The spot is called the roots of the soul and its world. And if it did not come to the world in the body, then it wouldn't have had nothing except her own world, meaning the amount of its part in the root. But the one who attains to go more in all the paths of the Creator, which is the 613 ways of the Torah, which return to be the names of the Creator, then its degree is enlarged at the amount of these names that she had attained. But the soul is obligated to enlarge its degree 620 times, just like it was previously in the root. And from this we should understand that if we will believe in the faith in the sages, then there is a place to think, why were we born in this world with a body that includes inside itself many low lusts? And how can we say that this body with his entire lowness is born to reach a very great thing? Meaning, what the soul cannot attain before descending inside this, enclosing inside this low body. And only then, he will be able to attain 620 times more than what he had before the soul clothed inside the body. And this is why we need to work in faith, to believe in the faith of the sages, that this is the way it is. But not especially on this we need to believe in the faith of sages, but in each and every step we have to believe that this is the way to advance in this world, to go with this world with our body, just like the sages wrote us. Otherwise, we will stumble in the way towards the Creator. But in the matter of faith, we also need true guides, meaning that will arrange us how and by which way we'll be able to go on the path of the Creator. Because there are many times during which one gives his entire strength in something that is not the most important thing in work. And this is why he doesn't have enough time and doesn't have enough time and energy to give to labor in the right place, meaning in the place which is the most important place and that is needed, so we will be able to rise in the merits of holiness. And because we can't learn only from books, because one is not like its friend and everyone has different inclinations, just like the Holy Ari is saying that one is not like to his friend and a day is not like a previous day, and you should correct the Chelbonah. And the Chelbona will correct, but the Levona will not correct. And this is why one has, and every person has a specific order for himself, and one arrangement of work does not fit the other. And this is why each and every one has to go in the arrangement that is fitted for him. Just like it is brought in the preference to the book of Panim Masbirot, because there are four parts in the speaking, and for this the Creator had imprinted in the generosity of Hamon with the three inclinations. This is why the Creator had imprinted in the multitudes of the people these three inclinations, which are called lust, honor, and envy, that because of them the people are developed degree after degree in order to make a holy person. And this, so the speaking, the vegetative, the life, and the still has to be interpreted on these four ways, that everyone does not understand the other. I mean that everyone understands that everyone should behave in this world, and no one can understand the other. For example, the speaking is the Bchina Aleph, the first discernment, that this kind, this species, understands only lust. And sometimes we see that there are two neighbors that live next to the other, one next to the other, and there are times in which the wife of someone who was in the second degree, which is the discernment of vegetative, that belongs to the discernment of pride and control, enter to speak with the wife of the husband that is in the degree of the still. And she sees the way the neighbor sits with his family next to the table and eats with the family and tells the family the way his day went in work and the way he now rests and enjoys from sitting with his family together and eating. And when the wife of the one who is in the degree of the vegetarian returns home, she waits for her husband to come from the store to eat an evening meal with the family. But when the husband comes and says that I don't have the time to eat now with you because I'm invited to go to some kind of a good association or some kind of a good meeting for the benefit of the collective. So, and his wife is asking, why does your neighbor come from the store and sits and eats with the family and doesn't run anywhere, but sits comfortably and is happy to sit with his family? And you have no calculation with your family. You don't regard them at all. But his entire head is given for other people. And I don't even know if you know them. And all of our time you are dedicating to them. All the time that you should dedicate to our family, you consider others more than us. And then you will answer and say that the neighbor has no sensation of the fellow people. But just like a rooster is going with her children, is making walks with them and is concerned only for her children, the same way is our neighbor, that he doesn't have a reason more than a rooster. And he wants me to be like him. So the greatest thing for you is to have a husband that will like a rooster. And this wife returns to the neighbor and asks him, why do you eat with your family after work and behave like a rooster? And you don't behave like my husband. And you don't behave like my husband. And he answers that I'm not crazy like your husband to give my precious time during which I have to rest and be happy with my family and to give this time to other people. And of course both of them are right, and no one understands the other, and one does not understand the other. And the same matter is from the second and the third situation. We'll give another example. Two neighbors. One wife enters the house of the other and sees that the son of the other comes at 8 a.m. and goes to work. In the evening, he also comes and behaves like the rest of the people. And afterwards, he goes to meetings and does something for the benefit of the collective. And then he returns and goes to sleep, as usual, just like the rest of the people. And when this wife returns home and asks her son, why do I see that many times that when I fix you something to eat in the evening and when I come in the morning, I see that the electricity is still on and the supper is standing in front of you and you didn't touch her and you're sitting next to your books? And why does the son of my neighbor behaves like a human being? And the son answers and says, I like wisdom. And this is why I understand that it is worthwhile to leave everything and to acquire wisdom. But what does not apply to the son of the neighbor? That he has nothing to do with wisdom, but he is like a beast. And he is working for the needs of the collective. Meaning, in which way beasts like him will have contentment. Which means that without being a smart person, I understand that I'm like a beast, which does not apply to the son of the neighbor, which is a beast. And how can I understand that one without wisdom is called a beast? And when this wife is telling her neighbor that her son is saying that the neighbor, that her son is a beast, then the son tells his mother, I'm not crazy to place my head into wisdoms of whom and what, and what would it give me? That no human being will never want to speak with me. Everyone will say that I have no clue in the matters of this world. But when I deal with the needs of the public, and I go to meetings where smart people meet to make something good for the benefit of the collective, then I will have many people that will honor me because I do not concern for my needs, but for the favor of the collective. Which is not applied to the son of the neighbor, because he is concerned only for his own needs. This is why he lies on his books, and has found that everyone is saying that the path on which he's walking is the path of truth. And one does not understand his friend, the other. And even more so in the discernment of the speaking, the ones that are in the discernment of the life will never understand the discernment of the speaking. Meaning the ones that work in the work of the Creator seem in the eyes of the smart as if the smart that deal their entire lives, the time of their lives in books, and say that the most important thing is the reason, that only the mind determines everything. And the ones that deal in the work of the Creator say that we need to go above our reason. And they laugh on them and say that without a reason, we're like beasts. And how can they say that you need to go above our reason? Because it is found, and then it is found that one does not understand the other. And this is called the generation of the palaga. The one does not understand the language of the other. And this, and accordingly, how can one leave the inclinations that he is used to? Because from the side of his reason, you can never understand how is there a reality? How can there be a reality in which one would think differently from his inclinations? And then he says that because of this, we were given corrections by which one is obligated to work and to labor. Otherwise, all the creatures would have been in the state of rest, because the root of the creatures is the Creator, which is in the descent of, which is in the situation of complete rest, just like every branch wants to resemble to his root. And these corrections are called the envy, the lust, and the honor, and they are the ones who take one of this world. And he says there that by the honor and the jealousy, one can change the inclinations of lust and to come to the degree of the vegetative. He begins to work for the favor of the collective from Lolishma. The same thing is that by the envy he can come to the degree of chokhmah, of wisdom. It's like the sages said that when writers, the wisdom mouths, that this is the way we can pass from the discernment of the speaking to from the life of the speaking, also by Lolishma. But why? What does this Lolishma give us if one does not have the true inclinations of the degree to which he passes? And about this, the sages said that the light in the Torah reforms. And it's found that by Lolishma, we come to Lishma. And this is why they said that one should always learn Lishma, that from Lolishma we come to Lishma. But we should know that these four parties, which are the still vegetative and the still vegetative life and speaking, are inside one person, that one by himself passes from one situation to the next, just like he writes there, that the ones who were remained with no merit, it is because they don't have a strong desire, and this is why these three mentioned inclinations serve them, are mixed in them. Sometimes they desire something, sometimes they envy something, sometimes they want honor, and their will is broken into pieces, and they're like small. Everything they see, they desire for, and they won't be able to attain things. This is why their value will be like a small straw that are that is left after the flower. And then the above said we understand the three situations one has doing his work. The first is called the permanent situation. The second is the situation of ascent. And the third is the situation of the descent, the decline. Which means that when one wants to leave from the discernment, from the permanent situation, then there is an order for this situation. When one performs Torah mitzvot, fulfills Torah mitzvot in the discernment of the collective, which means that they are very cautious to fulfill Torah mitzvot only regarding the action, meaning that they do not notice the intention, the altruistic intention. And this is called lo lishma. And then he can be in the situation generally, permanently, because he sees that he evolves day by day in Torah mitzvot. This is because he looks only on his actions, whether his action is right or wrong, and he's more or less cautious to fulfill his action correctly. And every day he acquires more and more Torah mitzvot. And there is a law that in everything that one succeeds, he enjoys from it and can continue doing it. And this is why this state is called the situation of permanency. But which does not apply to the second situation, which is the time of the ascent. Meaning, when one heard from books, from writers and books, that there is a matter of the Torah mitzvot, when one should, that one should reach this attainment by fulfilling Torah mitzvot, that we should work on the matter of adhesion with the Creator, that one should come to the sensation of godliness. And this is the most important thing that we want to gain from Torah mitzvot. And the books say that finally one will gain this degree, and this one begins to rise in the degrees of holiness and begins to feel that now he is in a different world, as if in a state that had existed regarding the situation in which he is now at. And the situation in which he previously was is like the difference between day and night. And yet, and he's not used to this, and this is why he comes to a decline. And when the descent and the ascent are more and more often, then he sometimes comes to desperation and says, "This path is not for me." And he can't. And from the other hand, he can't come and enter the previous situation, the permanent situation which he was. He can't do it anymore. And the truth is that one should learn from all these three situations. This is like my sages said. I've learned a lot from my rabbis, and even more from my friends and from my students. I've learned the most, which means that my rabbis, my teachers, is called the situation of the ascent, and my students in the situation of the descent, and my friends is the permanent situation. Meaning that one should use the situation of the descent. Meaning, during the ascent, he has to make a calculation about which thoughts and desires he then had. Meaning that the most important part of the studies during the ascent, meaning during the greatness, which is called Rav Otai. It's like teachers. And during the ascent, one has the reason to think. And then, when he begins to learn from the situation of the descent, this is called that he's learning from his students, which is the discernment of below from the usual ones, that from the situation he permanently had. And the situation, when one learns from the situation, then he learns a lot. Meaning that now he can praise and thank the Creator for taking him out of this situation, meaning when he was in trash and waste and dirt, just like the rest of the livings, that their food is the waste that people throw to the garbage. And these live, meaning the cats and so on, are living from this waste. And now, during the ascent, he can praise and thank the Creator for this. And my father said, that according to the extent that one praises and thanks the Creator, in this extent one rises degrees. And it doesn't important what he has, but what is important is the extent, is what's important is his impression from drawing closer to the Creator. And in the extent of the thankfulness that one gives, in this extent, this person rises in his degrees. And one should also learn from the situation of his friend. Meaning also during the ascent, one should think about how his work is built. How was his work built? And it's found that during the ascent, if one learns, then if the human learns from his permanent situation, which is the time of the ascent, then this is called that he didn't learn much. But when he learns from his friend, then he learns more than he what he learns during the ascent. And I've learned a lot from my students, it's from the time of the descent. And this is called, from my students, I've learned the most. But we shouldn't forget that the entire study is especially during the ascent. And it's found that if during the ascent he didn't learn, he does not learn from the situations, then it is called that he does not learn much. And this is why during the descent, one should not decide a thing, but only the prayer for the Creator to take him out from this low situation and to believe that the Creator hears his prayer. And we'll read the three last paragraphs again. And my father said that according to the extent one praises and thanks the Creator, this extent he rises in his degree. And it doesn't matter what he has, but what is important is what that he is impressed from drawing close to the Creator. And in the extent of the thankfulness that one gives, this extent one rises in his degrees. And we should also learn from, the situation of his friend, from the situation that is called his friend, meaning that also during the ascent he should think and wonder about the understanding he had about the way his work was previously built. And it's found that during the ascent, if one learns from his from this situation, which is the time of the ascent, then this is called that he didn't learn much. But when he learns from the discernment of his friend, then he learns more than the time in which he is innocent. And I've learned a lot from my students is from the time of the descent. And this is called, from my students, I've learned the most. But you shouldn't forget that the entire studies, especially during the ascent. And it's found that if during the ascent he does not learn from these situations, then this is called that he didn't learn much. This is why during the descent, one should not decide a thing, but only prayer for the Creator, to take him out of the situation of lowness, and to take him out of the low situation, and to believe the Creator hears his prayer.